At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 350 plus programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about, especially baseball-wise. Sweeping the Rangers, I don't know in this series, in this rivalry, that there was a much better series for the Astros. They went and destroyed them. Was it last year or the year before? They scored like 26 runs in Arlington.
Yeah.
And just kicked the snot out of them. Right? And that was awesome. But this one had much more meaning. This one, you know, if you lose this series, all of a sudden you're not in the playoffs. Now, not only are you in the playoffs, but you moved into first place by a half game. Seattle's got a game tonight. So Seattle will come here either a game down or even tied for the AL West lead. And you virtually knocked them out of the playoffs and won the Silver Series. Not only are you five games up, but you won the Silver Boot. And now you're basically six games up on them, mm-hmm. which means they're done.
I mean, literally vanquished the Rangers.
Yes, yes.
They can't come back from this. They have to win every game for the rest of the year. Their playoff percentage chances are 3.5. The Astros are now 93.4% playoffs after dipping into the 70s before the series started. Interestingly enough, Seattle's actually 97.3, Houston's 93.4. But Rangers are 3.5 now. Rangers are basically dead in the water. The team you got to look for is the Cleveland Guardians. They won six in a row. They continue to win. They're at 16.5%. So you're in a position now where 500 ball gets you in. That's the reality. You just don't want to lose them all to Seattle. But even if you did, you're still going to win enough, more than likely, win enough to get in. I mean, unless Cleveland just keeps winning, but I don't know. They played 100. They've got 11 games to go. Yep. Cleveland's got 11 games to go. I got to look at who they're. You know, their run differential is minus 25. It's not like they're killing it. You know, Houston's 84-69. They're 80-71. I think you're in good shape. This was a huge series. It was a huge, huge series. You needed to go at least 4-2 in this series with these two teams, and you're off to a 3-0 start.
Yep. So, it was just a beautiful series. You hit. You had clutch hitting. You knocked in runs, runners in scoring position, two mm-hmm. outs. Yiner has been fantastic. I talked about his road trip yesterday, I believe, or the day before. He has been just fantastic. He had a hit last night and a hit in the game before. But he had 11 hits in eight road games that they just came off that road trip in Atlanta, Toronto, and Texas. Nine-game road trip. He played in eight of them, and he had 11 hits, 2, 4, 5, 6, 9 RBIs on that road trip. He's just been awesome, coming up with huge hit after huge hit. His OPS on the season, over 700. But remember, he was struggling mightily for a while. He's got it back where he's not chasing that horrible slider that just looks just so bad sometimes at the plate. He has been much better with his pitch selection and coming through. I mean, the ball coming off of his bat in clutch situations, he has been just awesome. I don't know that we give Yiner enough love. And boy, is he throwing now to second base.
Yeah. I never thought he was bad. I didn't think he was bad. I thought he was okay in the past. Machete was better, and then, you know, until he wasn't. Mm-hmm. But this is really, it's really picked up. Pop time is, I guess they say pop time's faster also for him. You know, in the last, I'm looking at the last 20 game stats in terms of the last 20 games. Really, it's hard to find it in the last 20 games. I have to go to the Astros. But Yiner Diaz has seven doubles in his last 20 games. He's up there in the leaders for the in the American League. That's one of the, it's just an example of him starting to put the ball into the gap, starting to be able to. That's one of the reasons his OPS has come up. He's been below, like you say, he's been below 700 the entire season.
Yep.
And it is weird that that's now a marker for us when it used to be 900.
Yeah.
But that was a different time.
Yep.
So, and 800, realistically, 800 is a good OPS.
Speaking of 800, Jeremy Pena has been setting the table, not only setting the table, mm-hmm. but driving the baseball, his slugging, his going the other way, and getting on base, stealing bases, playing a really good shortstop. Not, you know, he's had a couple, but last night he ended the game with a beautiful diving play, mm-hmm. and then one hopped it to first and get to call game. He has been great. Carlos, the Pena-Correa combination in this series, getting on in the first inning, both of them getting on in the first inning, was just fantastic. Jose Altuve looks like he's back. He drove the ball. How about the
home
run?
Is he back? That was a nice home run. That looked good.
Well, you know what? He hits a homer off DeGrom. I'm saying he's back.
Yeah.
Okay. You beat DeGrom.
Listen, you beat DeGrom, and Christian Javier, it didn't start great. It was like 3 1/3. He was 3 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs. Like, yeah, this is about what I thought. And then, but from there, you know, settled in. Nothing else happened.
6 innings, 2 runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. You'll take that.
Yeah, a good quality start, too.
Yeah.
Not the 3-run, 6 innings. He had the 2-run, 6 inning. So he locked in after that. He is just a slow starter, man.
Yeah.
That's just what he does, is start slowly. But we have seen him pull out of it in a couple of different – I think this is the third game where we've seen him start slow and then lock in and settle in after that. So good performance by him. Great – love seeing Jose Altuve with the home run. Jeremy Pena, as you mentioned, a couple more hits. You had some clutch hits when you needed them, and you got on top of you got on top of DeGrom, which is the key also now.
Oh my God, 35 pitch first inning with Pena and Correa get on, Altuve and Walker strike out, mm-hmm. Caratini walks, and then Yiner comes up with the big 2-out hit, and DeGrom couldn't have been more pissed off. The Caratini looked like it could have been strike 3. But he got away with it. The ump called it a ball. And then Yiner makes him pay with the 2-out, 2-run single. That was huge. Getting to DeGrom in the first, making him throw 35 pitches. After the inning, he goes into the dugout. He throws his glove, pissed off. They come back, tie the game. But then Altuve and then Pena homer, and this thing is over. The Astros take care of it and win the silver boot. I don't know that there's a bigger award in sports. I mean, you can have your Super Bowls, you can have your World Series rings and all of this, but the silver boot to me is where, you know, you live and die. You live and die with the silver boot.
Pretty big to win the boot.
The boot is
Stainholm. Did we have it, right?
I don't know if we won it last year.
No one knows.
It's impossible.
A lot of people didn't know what the deal was on that one. So we're hope that we have it here and we just keep it here.
Yeah.
Because the transportation is expensive. I don't want Jim to have to pay for that. You know, because you got to – armed guards have to pay for armed security.
Yeah.
It's a lot like when the when the U.S. had all that enriched uranium that we got from the bought from the Russians. I just finished the Cold War documentary, Truth About the Bomb, The Turning Point. So that's fresh in my mind after 9 episodes at an hour apiece. Good Lord, but it was really good. But they had to sneak it out in a cover of night so the bad guys didn't get it. That's kind of what I think of with the Silver Boot. I don't need the angels or A's trying to send,
right,
you know, chaos agents to come steal our golden boot or silver boot.
Yeah,
or
yeah, yeah. So much better to watch 9 hours than, you know, just to read a book. That's terrible.
Yeah,
so,
can you imagine how long that would have taken?
Oh, my
God. Oh, my God.
Books blow.
Yeah, books are the worst.
Yeah,
down kids, with books.
Kids, just watch. Are you on your way to school? Just watch documentaries.
Don't worry,
my movies.
Daughter.
You learn a lot from movies.
Yeah, you can learn, and you can see it, too. You want a visual history.
Yeah.
My daughter, I went to her open house, and one of the teachers in English, they're about to read a book, and he said, well, it's on Canvas, which is an online thing, and we've got an audio book in there, so if some kids learn better through, you know, through auditory learning is easier for them. And I was like, man, they make it so easy for kids. Now, I would have listened to books. Had I had that, I would have listened instead of read books. You take an ADD person, it's easy for us to read books. I have to go back and reread pages because I'm like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
What just happened? I was thinking about John Jefferson. I was thinking about Earl Campbell running over somebody.
Yeah.
I couldn't concentrate.
No, that happened all the time. Yeah, where I go, I don't know even who this person is in this book. Where did they mention him?
Now, what? I still do that with actual shows. I got to go back and watch new episodes. Like, wait, what happened here?
Yeah.
How about this? I'm looking up these numbers. Holy crap. How about this? 26-29. The combination, the law firm of King, Bluebow, and Murray over the last Astros, I've got a site that gives you the last 20 games. Obviously, Murray hasn't pitched in 20 games. But the law firm of King, Bluebow, and Murray last 20 games that the Astros have played have pitched 29 innings, given up 13 hits, 5 walks, and 29 strikeouts.
Wow.
Earned runs. Zero. Boop, 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 boop.
Nothing.
Zero earned runs during that time.
How? Is that the greatest? Are they the greatest combination?
This might be the best.
Is that
three Maddox, the three-headed Smoltz, dragon
and
that we needed?
Tom Galvin? Tom Glavin?
Tom Galvin, yep.
Yeah, well, I had a buddy in a college named Timmy Glass.
And if we had Nick Hernandez and J.P. France, it only gets better.
Oh, my God.
It turns into 31 innings.
That's what I said about Brian King. You weren't listening to me. Brian King went through a lull, and Brian King is a guy now that you can count on.
He's pitched better. He's got 4 holes in this time frame.
Yeah.
He's pitched much better. Also, Logan Vanway. Do you remember Logan Vanway?
Yeah, but he's no longer with us.
Yeah, no, but he had an inning and no hits. Look at all these zeros. J.P. France, Nick Hernandez, Brian King, A.J. Blueball, Jaden Murray, and Logan Vanway. There's one guy in there who you had ever heard of before the season started, J.P. France.
Well, Logan Vanway was on the team before.
Was he?
Yeah, he was on last year.
I don't even remember Logan Vanway. I have to go back and read that page of the book.
His name has a capital letter in the middle.
That's different. Well, what's he doing?
Well, he's one of them Nordic countries or something like that. You know, where just a lot of white people are doing stuff with their name.
Look at the bottom of this list. McCullers, Abreu.
Well, yeah, Abreu. Where's Abreu on that list?
771. No, I'm sorry, 8. He has an 8 ERA in the last 20 games. He's the worst. 9 innings, 16 hits, 8 runs, 6 walks, 14
strikeouts. That's our closer, bro.
Yeah, I know. Caleb Ort. Ort. 4 2/3, 4 hits, 4 runs. Lance McCullers, 4 innings, 6 hits, 5 runs. Okert, 8 innings, 9 hits, 5 runs. Colton Gordon, 11 1/3, 10 hits, 7 runs.
Okert seems like he's been
and
better.
And Fromber, 23 innings, 22 hits, and 14 earned runs.
That's not good.
Awful.
Not good, bro. Nope. Well, that's the last 20 games. What about the last 3 games?
Last 3
games. All
we
do is kick ass.
Well, because the Astros are only 11-9 in their last 20, but the 3-game series, Astros win the 3-game series against the Rangers, and the Rangers are crippled now. Their fans can just go ahead and turn their attention to the illustrious Dallas Cowboys.
Well, I mean, if you got to do that, Why would you do that?
1-1.
Yeah.
But that one win was an incredible win against the Giants, where they needed a 64-yard field goal to send it to overtime.
So the Astros are back to 15 games over 500. Their high water mark was 20 on the season. And so they're only, you know, and they're back in first place by a half a game, despite the fact, I mean, listen, Cleveland is going to cool off. It's Seattle. I love that Seattle burst their bubble and won 10 straight games before anything matters. You know, they're not going to, you know, win. Oh, Seattle went on a 20-win jag. No, they're not going to do that. They lost last night. Probably lose tonight. The Astros get them now down. They I don't want to say shot their wad, but they, they definitely
it's a boxing term that whatever reason made it into mainstream.
Right. And here we go. So you got a day off now. You got Hunter Brown.
Yep.
Fromber, who's been awesome lately. You just heard it. 14 earned runs in his last 20 games. That's great. And our hero, Jason Alexander.
Yep.
That's what you got. And you couldn't set up better. It could
all
not
night
set
games.
Up better.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the Sunday is an ESPN game on television. So just so you know, it starts at 6 o'clock. So you can watch your Texans light up the scoreboard offensively. And then on Sunday afternoon, and then watch the...
What's light up the scoreboard mean to you?
You know... 17, 20.
So, a couple touchdowns.
Two touchdowns
maybe
is a nice
touchdown
day.
Touchdown and four field goals.
So you
maybe
don't need...
19.
Okay.
Well, they scored 19.
After watching all 22 yesterday, and I watched with some of the listeners, I came away realizing the cornerbacks were just too fast and too athletic for the Texans, and then they were outcoached. Erica, we can talk about it on the other side.
Well, let's do that on the other side. There's a lot of stats. They come out with. There's all kinds of stats that they've come out with that we will break down and decipher when we come back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But how about them Astros? How about them Astros? And how about Chastain Ford? How about Chastain Ford just doing it for the people right now? Listen, if you're looking for the best way to get into that vehicle, you got it at Chastain Ford. Chastain Ford, not only are they giving you an unbelievable deal, but they are teaming up with the Houston Food Bank for a local food drive happening right now through the 25th of September. They're collecting non-perishable items right at the dealership, 610 Loop East at Homestead, not Hempstead. They want to give back to the community. So, If you're in a neighborhood, you drive by there, bring some food over there for the Houston Food Bank. Even if you're not buying a vehicle, that's okay. You want to peruse, you can do that as well. Peruse is a great word when you're looking for a vehicle. Listen, Chastain Ford is going to do it right. They got 0.9% APR financing on select 2025 F-150 XLT models, or you can lease it for $388 a month. Obviously, you've got to have approved credit. Terms and conditions apply. See dealer for full details. But Chastain Ford... it's the best place to buy your vehicle for a couple of reasons. No dealer add-ons, no hidden fees. It's how truck buying should be. The number one Google-rated Ford dealer in Houston. Why? Because they do it right every single time. You're going to get, there's transparent, you're going to get exactly honest, straightforward deal when you buy your truck or your SUV from Chastain Ford. I love them. I buy all my vehicles there. I hope you do too. ChastainFord.com at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I've never seen this amount of information coming out after just a couple of weeks. There's all kinds of stuff. CJ is a middle-of-the-pack quarterback right now, according to a lot of statistics that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Tight window accuracy, Time to throw and depth of target. He is actually not a middle of the pack. He's below average on.
What's his average depth of target?
Average depth of time to throw. He is above average, actually, which is a little bit surprising. Below average on average depth of target. Mm-hmm. He's at six. He's at about six plus yards. He's right around where Jaden Daniels is, Cam Ward is, Joe Burrow. He's in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Guys that are doing really well with time. Jordan Love is doing fantastic. Average depth of target is way up there. Guys who are doing actually pretty well. Average depth of target, Jake Browning, with no time to throw. He's doing. He's actually doing pretty damn well. Dak Prescott. Russell Wilson is actually doing pretty well. There's also play calling statistics. The offense and defense right now rank 21st combined play calling.
Huh.
Yeah, play calling by 21st. Nick Cayley struggling a little bit. Mm-hmm.
You know what he did a lot of in this last game, John? He used a lot of reduced formations where he had wide receivers tight to the line. I couldn't believe when I rewatched it how many times the Texans had 10 men and sometimes 11 men in my screen on the end zone angle of the play. And what they're doing is bringing everybody in for Tampa. And a lot of times why you do that, you just think, why are you doing that? Well, the thought for some is if you're able to block it and pop it, you can hit big plays. You can hit big run plays. But I just thought the way Tampa's linebackers were flying downhill, I don't think it was very smart. I think Nick Cayley, if he had it to do all over again, would not do it. Then, when I turn around and watch the Texans and their alignment, their defensive ends are very wide. Their defensive tackles are spread out. It's not – their alignment is super wide, and then they have two linebackers who got caught by blocks way too much. Like, it was night and day. And so my thought with Nick getting to bring it back to Nick Cayley for a second is, number one, I think DeMeco needs to consider tightening his splits up defensively a little bit, because it was just – the holes were just – it was too easy for Tampa to block. It was way too easy. But for Nick Cayley, you know, he tried to create – he clearly had a game plan in mind, and I don't think it was the right game plan. I think Christian Kirk, who is back at practice, could end up making a big difference this week. But I think this idea about, hey, we're going to get our big bodies over here on the line of scrimmage, our wide receivers, and see if we can pop something by getting our big wide receivers to, you know, to make some blocks on their little corners. It didn't work, man. It just didn't work. And it was too much trouble for the offensive line. Actually, you know, they hung in there as a run blocking unit. But the linebackers and the safeties as add-on defense, you know, add-on safeties and linebackers, they were blowing everything up. So Nick's going to have to look at what has worked and what hasn't worked, and he's got to get to something new. This week, he's got to get to something new.
Well, play caller ratings compared to easy button usage. Easy buttons include RPOs, play action, and screens.
Oh, Nick is going to be at the bottom.
It's the worst. It's yeah. Well, no, Engstrand from the Jets is the worst.
I haven't seen him. Okay, screens. They ran two screens in the last game. One was big, successful. The other one failed miserably because there was just an extra defender there that was
by comparison the best in the league is Shane Steichen, Sean Payton, Liam Cohen, LaFleur, McVay,
all the top names.
Reed.
Where are the RPOs? I haven't seen one RPO this year.
No, and play action is like non-existent. Cayley at 10, he's a negative. He's in the lower left quadrant. And he's by himself in pretty much, other than the Jets, Engstrand. And listen, Kubiak's not, Canales is not, McDaniel, they're all down here. Not doing a good job, not being creative, not calling, you know, plays that are going to be able to pick up big chunks. None of that. Yeah. None of that. No. You know, trying to fool the deep, no play action. No RPO, trying to get, you know, something that the defense won't be able to read, screens, none of that.
Yeah, it hasn't been very creative, and I always cringe a little bit when I hear people talk about play calling, because sometimes it's just a general, it's just a default. When you don't like what's happening, you just say it's the play calling. But to me, play calling is about philosophy. It's how much do you have the other team guessing about what's going to happen? Are they playing forward because they don't fear you? Those corners were sitting on all the routes underneath. Like, it got, you know, Tampa didn't play as much too high safety as I thought they were going to. They really didn't. You could have taken, you know, you, it might have been worth it just to get, just to, I mean, I hate to just say throw it up, but get, and look, they knew where Nico was at all times on there. It might have been worth it to give Jaden Higgins a shot to just say, look, just go vertical, and we're going to have you one-on-one, and we're going to give you a chance to win the ball up in the air over these smaller corners. Mm-hmm. It might have been worth that, but, you know, we didn't, we just didn't, we haven't seen it. So,
so
I don't know.
So, this is, who is it? One guy's analytics worst, and you know what? It kind of makes some sense. Worst play calling, best play calling in the league, Todd Monken. Kevin Petullo from the Eagles, Shane Steichen, Zach Taylor, Greg Roman, Joe Brady, Andy Reid, Liam Cohen, the usual suspects. Mm-hmm. Well, and they got pretty good quarterbacks. This, you know, Tanner Engstrom from the Jets is considered the worst. Dave Canales from the Panthers, Mike McDaniel doing a really poor job. Clint, I wonder though how much of this is, well, you got a really bad quarterback and maybe limited. Clint Kubiak, Kellen Moore, I mean, you got Spencer Rattler, what are you going to do? Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings, Ben Johnson, and then Nick Cayley. Yeah, those are the worst in the league. So, Nick Cayley, like, eighth from the bottom. So, maybe he has the best quarterback that's down on the bottom, which is a problem. That's a problem. Look at the other guys, Callahan. You know, he's got rookie Stefanski's got Joe Flacco. Arthur Smith has Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, it's a lot to do with the quarterback and how limited you are, I guess. But Cayley's not limited. He's got a quarterback. And yet the play calling, I think this is pretty obvious, though, right? I mean, this is what we've seen is very little creativity out of this offense.
Yeah, and look, I think that for any coach, any player, and any play caller, he's a rookie. There's no way around it. He's not going to come in guns a-blazing. He's got to learn some different things. And I think after watching these All-22s, he's got a lot to learn, but it does take time. And this is a decision DeMeco made, so we just have to roll with it. Is they decided to go with a young guy who didn't have any experience as an NFL play caller, and now you're going to suffer some of the consequences of that. That's the reality. Now, it doesn't mean he can't become a good play caller in time. It doesn't mean he's not learning. It doesn't mean he's not going to make adjustments and change, but he doesn't know what he doesn't know. So it's impossible for him to, you know, for him to come out and just be someone who looks like a wily play caller. But make no mistake, they're 0-2. He better figure it out quick. Cleveland's got a good defense. They got a good defensive front, and this isn't going to be easy. And so Nick Cayley's going to have to create. He's going to Jacksonville. They've got a good defensive front, and they are going to. They're a team that will run, and they're not as fast at linebacker as they once were, but they are going to give you. They're going to give you some looks. I think that's a well-coached team, Jacksonville, actually. I don't think this is a walk in the park at all against Jacksonville. You could end up 0-3 out of this, and Cayley is going to have to figure out the best way. You know what? Best players play. Marks has got to be on the field. It's got to be just Marks and Chubb. That's it.
Yeah.
No more Dare. There's no reason for Dare. And Christian Kirk's got to be out there. Xavier Hutchinson. I like that he blocks in the run game. That's great. But you got to get some, you know, you guys have to get open.
Yeah. And you might be saying, well, he's got a crap offensive line and blah, blah, blah. Well, as far as that goes, right now, according to these stats and the analytics of it, left tackle, the average allowed pressure in dropbacks, only 8.7% out of Ursary. for the most part, Ursary. 8.7%. Left guard is the worst. 26.1%.
Yeah, it wasn't good this last game.
No. 8.7 out of center, 17.4 out of right guard, another 26.1 out of right tackle, but that's about average-ish in the league with how bad, like Baker Mayfield, well, they lost a guard too, Mock. I mean, they lost their right tackle, left tackle, and a guard.
Guard for the year.
Although Mock finished the game against the Texans, their right tackle has given up 43% of pressure on dropbacks. That's awful. They also rate CJ, and CJ's actually been pretty good with just 8.7%. I don't know what their analytics are on that, but it seems like sometimes CJ's holding the ball maybe too long, and even D'Amico has said that CJ's got to be better as well. It's not holding the ball too long and getting rid of it instead of taking sacks or letting the pressure get to him. So those are just some of the stats that are coming. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of numbers now, the analytics on football. It used to be just baseball. Now football, you can see all of these numbers. The problem with it is who's grading these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so but your human eye can tell you, CJ, it's just, he's just been meh. And so is this offense. All right, let's break. 713-780-3776. If you've got any thoughts on any of this, you're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776. Let's talk a little Underdog.
Yeah, let's talk about Underdog, because Underdog says, look, what are your opinions on the game? Let's take those opinions. Let's put them into action. Let's make them actionable. Let's go download the Underdog app. Use promo code Lance. When you use promo code Lance, you're going to be able to get a $50 bonus credit when you spend your first $5. That's when you make your first deposit. Use promo code Lance. And then the Pick'em challenge, right? On the Pick'em, you are just picking who is going to go higher or lower than the statistics they have listed. And you got it for baseball. You got it for college football. You got it for WNBA. You've got it for NFL football. I mean, there's a lot to choose from. They do golf, UFC. If you're a sport, they've got it in there. But if you want to just really lock in on a couple games that you feel like you know what's going to go on, do that. Lock in on that. There's a really cool feature called Streaks where you start with two picks. And if you win those two, then the next one's available to you. You want to win that one. And then from there, you can cash out anytime you want. And you can start as low as $5 if you want. But the more you win, the higher your payout gets. So you may say, you know what? I'm going to press again. It's like watching a game show from the 80s. Are you going to freeze it here? No, I'm going to keep going. Yeah. Win more money. That's the way you can do it. That's with Underdog Fantasy. Real money, real fun, frankly, and you can play along with the games that you're watching at Underdog Fantasy. Download the app today. It's Underdog Fantasy, and use promo code Lance.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing. Get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's a little something that might make you feel good about yourself this Sunday. NFL teams that are 0-2... and our dogs in week 3 have gone 37-17 against the spread.
Wow.
A 32%
over
return on investment.
Frame?
Pardon me?
Over what? From when to when?
Week 3, it's since 2017.
Wow.
Here's the system matches this week. There are 9. The Dolphins, which, Dell, you said they play them tough up there, right?
Yeah. 3 out of the last 4 times they've played Buffalo up there, it's been a close game. So, but you're talking about against the spread, so that's time to make some money. But as far as a fan What do they have the straight up numbers?
Well, I don't care about Webb if the Dolphins win or lose.
I'm not talking about the Dolphins. The Texans are in that situation too, right?
Right.
So who cares if they cover if they lose? If you're a fan,
no, you make money on your team.
No, I'm asking, but the fan wants to go 1-2, not 0-3.
Well, listen, there's one team this century that went 0-3 and made the playoffs, and that's our Houston Texans.
Is Bill O'Brien the coach of the team?
Yeah.
The coach of this team, that's the only one I trust to dig them out of the hole.
Yeah, that's it. There's only one guy you can trust.
So while your numbers are great for the gamblers out there, what about underdogs who go on the road and win when they're 0-2?
No one cares about that.
Well, I do. I want the Texans to win.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're going to cover. I mean, this is what's the spread? 2.5? What's the Texan spread?
I don't have that in front of me.
I'm looking right now.
Dolphins? Okay, tonight. It's all the crappy teams. The Jets?
Well, they're 0-2.
Texans are 2. Yeah, 2-point dogs.
2-point dogs. Jets, Texans, Bears, Giants, Saints, Browns, Panthers, and Titans. You know, it's a little bit surprising because usually if you're 0-2, now there are some exceptions like the Bengals when they were 0-2. You know, they were thought to be a much better team. But if you're 0-2, you know, you're probably a pretty crappy team.
Mm-hmm.
So, yet they're covering 20 over 500, 37-17 against the spread.
Well, it's your last chance to really save your season. Desperation certainly probably plays a part.
And I will say this, like the Dolphins tonight, you know, they're a bunch of really good athletes out there. They're prideful. They're not going to go there and just lay down. Now, they may not be very good, but they're not going to just go
and lay
down. Not
this early in the season they won't lay down.
No. I mean, the Giants should have won last week. Could and should have won last week. The Saints have actually... The Browns have a great defense. The Browns' defense is playing great. And the Texans are better than this. So, they're a dog at it. 2-0-2 teams going at it. I mean, that's great. That's just good football.
Good football. This is what people want.
This is what people want. They're clamoring. I'm surprised this isn't the Sunday night game.
The Jags have a win, don't they?
It's a clamor.
Oh, did they win?
Week one, right?
Yeah, the Jags won.
They won
week one.
Yeah, they won the first week against Ragamuffin Squad, the Panthers.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they beat up the Panthers.
Yeah,
no one saw that game,
respects.
So it was impossible to know since no one saw that.
No, I didn't really. Yeah, that's.
I knew. I just told you. I knew.
No, no one really knew.
No, I knew.
You just guessed. You couldn't even remember who they beat.
I know they won. I know they weren't 0-2.
Well, no one
because
knew.
You don't pay the respect you should to.
Duval.
Barbecueso. You heard that right. Barbecueso. You get it at Damaris Barbecue, and you'll thank me later.
I won't know unless he brings some up.
How about
that's when
that?
We'll know
have
it's
you
a
had
fact.
That, though?
We'll
have
know it's a barbecue fact if he brings some up here.
It's melted cheese with brisket in it, and they got those thick chips. You get that at Damaris Barbecue on 18th Street.
All theory to us. Until we see it in our right.
In
front
theory
of us.
He has
yeah,
it.
Yeah, in theory it's good.
Well, in reality he does, but you have to go there to get it.
Oh well.
We gotta make sure we don't get away from the Astros too much. This was as clutch. I mean, it looked like they were back to themselves, right? They've been so crappy at home. They've been disappointing so much over the last couple of years at home in big series. Going back to Washington winning every game in the World Series in Minute Maid at the time. The last couple of years, I mean, the Rangers beating them in Minute Maid in the playoffs, losing 2 to Detroit. They have been so disappointing at home. In big series, that this was just a maybe they flipped that switch, maybe they flipped it over and now they're back to being what we were used to over all those years over this last decade. That was so good to see them jump out, so good to see how clutch they were. They only left 3 guys on base last night, 3 left on base. That was it, and with runners in scoring position, they were 2 for 5. And they had the big 2-out RBIs from Yiner in the first. That was huge, just huge. So while the pitching is still very much suspect because of all the injuries, it looks like the bats are back.
Well,
I don't know.
The best bat out of the lineup for the rest of the year.
It's what we do.
But it's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, Carlos should help. Jeremy Peña is having a great year, period. But Altuve, it's pretty much non-negotiable. At this point, with Yordan out, Altuve must hit well. Not get back to, you know, hitting 250 baseball. He's got to be a really good player. They just don't have enough. Like, it's just, we can't fade all the injuries and Altuve playing poorly. It just can't happen. Boy, it was good to see him put good wood on that pitch yesterday and sting it for the home run.
Yep, especially against the Grom. So there's an outside chance Paredes, Isak comes back.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, if he can, it's been a long, rusty sit for him.
I would imagine you're taking ground balls at second base, but I would imagine you got to DH him, right?
Yeah, no, defensively, I mean, Carlos, you got gold glovers there. I mean, it's not, yeah. I would think DH.
He was hitting second.
Or pinch runner.
He was hitting second. I don't think you take Carlos out of
not
that two hole right now.
No.
Peña-Carlos combination has been awesome. Altuve third. Maybe fourth. Christian Walker so up and down.
I know Altuve's hitting third. We were just talking about pushing him down the lineup, and he can't. Really, one game, and now Altuve should lock in?
Well, listen, Joe ain't doing that. Joe ain't putting him sixth. I mean, he hasn't batted lower than fourth all year.
Well, you got to ride or die with him. Look, if Jose Altuve doesn't hit well, you have no chance anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well ride or die with him. He's your guy. He's the greatest Astro of all time.
Yeah.
So you might as well stick him in there. You know, three is not considered as big a spot as one or two for the Astros anymore. It doesn't feel like, from an analytics standpoint. But, you know, I might. He's not hitting a lot, but if you're going to have him up there, I might rather have him in a two spot. But that's fine. I who cares?
No, Carlos.
Just get
too.
Hits.
How about we're facing, it's Hunter Brown against Wu.
Mm-hmm.
Wu! On Friday night. Hunter Brown has a 2.27. Skubal, 2.26. Crochet, 2.63.
Yeah.
Hunter Brown.
Skubal got beat up the last start.
He's got two more starts. He could be the ERA leader. I think Skubal is probably the Cy Young Award winner, but
Wu is a really good pitcher.
Wu is good, but you know what? We're going to kick his ass. We just beat DeGrom, and he's over three now. Okay. So I ain't worried about Hunter Brown. You're scared with Hunter Brown on the mound?
Mm-hmm.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I mean, people say dumb stuff.
People do say
Brian Wu versus the Astros. No, they don't have it yet. They don't have it. They got him against the Royals. We need to find him. Here, let me find him against Astros. Against the Houston Astros, Brian Wu. Jose Altuve is 2-for-9 career.
Well, he's pitched twice against the Astros this year. He gave up four earned in a 11-3 defeat. The Astros got
Jordan
him.
Jordan had a
July
home run against him.
20th. And then in a 2-1 loss for the Mariners against the Astros, he went 6, gave up 10 hits, but only gave up 2 runs. So they've gotten to him as far as putting good at bats. They didn't convert in the first start, and then they got to him pretty well in his second start against them this year.
So Yiner's 0-for-7. Dubon is 4-for-11. Jeremy Peña is 2-for-8 with 4 strikeouts. The rookie Cam Smith is 2-for-6. Christian Walker's hit him well, 4-for-8, at least, well, for the career, I guess. I mean, it's only been this year. 4-for-8 with a home run for Christian Walker. 2
Thank
RBIs,
you.
Only 1 strikeout. And then Carlos Hi. Correa, 2-for-9. Victor Caratini, 2-for-5. So, I mean, you've got some guys that can hit a little bit.
Yeah. Now do Hunter Brown against the Mariners.
Well, Hunter versus the Mariners.
Hunter against everybody.
Hunter against the world. The Mariners have seen Hunter Brown plenty. Let me see. Bat pitch. Here we go. Mariners. So against the Mariners, Hunter Brown is, he's got obviously more, there's more at bats against him. Cal Raleigh is 3-for-17.
He sucks.
No home runs and 6 strikeouts.
He's terrible.
Luke Raley is 0-11. Julio Rodriguez is 7-21, but no home runs. The guys, the best players against him are of the position. You know, he's actually had success. Victor Robles is 3-4, but against them in general, they've got a 647 OPS against him with a 226 batting average and a 299 on base percentage. Based on the guy, Randy Arozarena. So here's what you need to know. Arozarena, 1-13 with 5 strikeouts. Cal Raleigh, 3-17 with 6 strikeouts. Against the big boppers, J.P. Crawford, 3-17, 8 strikeouts. I mean.
Oh, they got no
shot. You know what? The I'm a numbers guy.
Sure.
And the numbers tell me that the Mariners are in a lot of trouble.
Well, his most recent start in an 11-3 win over Seattle, he only got through 4, gave up 3 runs in 4 innings. Maybe. I'm just giving you what happened most recently. And then his first start against the Mariners back in April, it was what we know Hunter Brown to be. 6 runs, no runs given up, no earned runs. Struck out. He only struck out 3. Somehow the Astros, after Hunter Brown goes 6 innings, gives up no runs, they lost 7-6.
Oh, that sounds like the Astros. Yeah. Okay, listen, that's tomorrow night. Can't wait. Boom! Big series. The biggest series we've seen this year after the biggest series we just saw this year. That's awesome. The biggest and best powder coater is Houston Powder Coaters. It's not even arguable. 5-star Google reviews. You can go there. Now, you don't even have to walk out of your house. They will come, whatever it is that you need powder coater, Houston Powder Coaters will come, pick it all up, bring it to the facility, do all the prep work, do all the powder coating, let it set, let it dry, let it be ready, perfectly ready, bring it back to you, okay? And especially if you've got a public pool, now is the time. Now is the time to make sure that Robin gets it. You had the summer, all the kids, they're going to be back in the spring. Get it done now, okay? If you're going to have a big Christmas party, Thanksgiving, Christmas, get it done now because you want to have it all done. Let the Houston Powder Coaters take their time and make sure that everything is done perfectly. There's a turnaround time, so make sure that you give them plenty of leeway. Of course, they can rush stuff too, but you don't want to do that. Do it now. Do it now when you can, and they got time, and you got time. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. They're the best. It's not even arguable. Free pickup and delivery. And Robin, you'll love dealing with Robin because she's awesome. HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Just nonstop quarterback and offensive and play calling efficiency stats. Adjusted quarterback efficiency versus actual. Adjustments are for expected EPA on yards after catch, drops, interceptions, DPIs, fumbles. Best in the league, Lamar Jackson, Purdy, Goff, Love, Prescott, Herbert, Allen, the usual suspects. At the bottom, Tua is the worst in the league. Charlie Ward. Cam Ward, Aaron Rodgers,
yep.
Smith, McCarthy, Stroud. At the bottom.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Matches up. There's some anticipate. Look, something I saw with CJ on tape that really concerned me is there were some opportunities for him to sit down and deliver a ball and potentially take a hit, but deliver a ball in the middle of the field to an open player running to two or three different times. Two for sure I saw. One was where he had a window throw to make and an anticipatory window between two linebackers in the middle of the field, which would have been a good first down throw. And he sensed some pressure in the middle, but it wasn't enough not to just sit down and throw the football. And his feet started to go pat, tap, 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 and he started to back up. That was a bad sign. There was another one where he just started to scramble the pocket and missed a wide-open Dari Ogunbowale, which would have been a huge play. It was a third and long, like third and 12, and it would have been a first down. And he just didn't see him because he just was looking at Nico Collins. Like, it's clear he is Nico crazy when it comes to, I know Nico's going to be one of the first reads a lot of times, but he really, he's missing some things on the field, it seems like, because he is so dialed in on Nico Collins. I think it's going to be incumbent upon Nick Caley to find ways to, like, bunch sets, things where CJ can make an easy read on one, you know, on one player. Todd Bowles is not an easy defense to go up against. He's not. He's tricky. But Nick Caley's going to have to find some ways where he can allow CJ to make an easy read based on, how a defense aligns or what the route, you know, what the route combination may be. You go stress a cornerback or a safety and you just make one read and throw it. That's the great Joe Brady offense that worked for Joe Burrow, is he found ways to stress one player and you basically had to read one safety or one corner on combination high-low routes, things like that. He's going to have to do that. Nick Caley's got to find ways to make it easy for CJ to make a single read and deliver the ball. Because this wait until the third read stuff, it's CJ can do it, but it's inconsistent, and sometimes the protection isn't going to hold that long.
Yeah.
So do something, Nick. If that's going to be, you don't just say, well, just can't do that, I guess. No.
Nope.
You got to find a way.
Who's on the line, Del?
Chris.
Chris is on the line?
Yeah.
All right, let's get him in here. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show, Lance. I'm glad you flipped back to the Texans. I had a question. When you're breaking down the film and you're watching the offensive line, you know, we watch it kind of just with our raw eyes on TV, and we see a sack is up. When you're breaking down the film, you said something just a second ago that said maybe there's not time for the third read. When does it become not a bad grade for the O-linemen, and how long do you as an evaluator expect them to hold the block for TJ? Is it second read, third read? Should he have time, or should the Haley, should he know, like, hey, we don't have time to get to the fourth read, so if that's who we're expecting to get to, it's just not going to happen because of the defense. So I guess my question is, how do you grade an O-lineman, and when do we know, okay, that wasn't on the right tackle.
That's fair.
CJ that rolled out of the pocket, he should have been.
Yeah, that's a fair question. Like 2.5, 2.6 seconds is typically 2.5, 2.6 seconds. You can kind of see it. And some of the things that were counted as pressures, it wasn't really a dire pressure. When you look at it from behind and you can see the spacing, CJ just had to slide up and some of those, CJ wasn't sacked. He just slid and moved out of the pocket, and that's counted as a pressure. But there were times CJ could have actually stayed in the pocket and delivered the ball. He's just not doing it. There are times he's not doing it and he's voiding the pocket or he's backing up.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, I thought for the most part, look, 75, Laken Tomlinson didn't have a great game. Ed Ingram played way better than I expected. So shout out to Ed Ingram on as a pass blocker and run blocker. I was hard on Ed Ingram before based on his reputation out of Minnesota. All I can tell you is I thought he played well yesterday. I thought Ursary hung in there pretty well. Titus Howard. There was one play where Jarrett Patterson clearly got beat up by Greg Gaines, threw him to the ground and got a sack. But for the most part, other than your left guard, they played okay in pass protection. They really did. They weren't terrible. You just mentioned CJ has a certain amount of time to pass, which some of it is when he buys time, you know, but that's all quarterbacks can buy time.
And listen, and it's not enough. We're not putting enough on the wide receivers either.
Nothing.
You mentioned the lack of separation. Justin Watson is done now. He's on IR. Christian Kirk returns. We'll hear from CJ on the other side about Christian Kirk's return and how little he's using the young guys and the reason why. On the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, we got Josh Pate coming up. We're going to hear from John Chill about what's the trends this week in betting.
Yeah.
We'll look at the stuff that we were talking about, whether or not what the trends are and whether or not to bet those.
We
got all that coming up.
At 8:15, I'm going to give you a chance. 8:16, I'm going to give you a chance to win a $50 gift card to Tucker Race around us.
And still ahead, we're going to pick someone to play Beat the Warehouse Live Guy. Beat the Warehouse Live Guy today. We'll do that in a little bit, too, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now we're talking about HRMP. HRMP is your business partner, okay? You need a business partner. You need somebody. Obviously, they're in business, right? They get paid for what they do. They get paid for their technology. I mean, just like every company is. Are you using AI or are you using what manufacturer are you buying your product? Whatever it is. Sure, absolutely. But what kind of service are you getting? What's the technology that you're getting? HRMP is at the top of the food chain in technology for payroll. And then their HR is flawless. Their tax, the way that they go about the tax season is unbelievable. Experts in the Affordable Care Act. You, my friends, are spending, I don't know how much you're spending or how poorly you're doing your payroll, but I do know, and it's not what you do. Use the expertise that they have at HRMP to bring you your payroll, bring you your HR, get your taxes done. You don't do this for a living. Let the people who do this do it for you and be your business partner. They want to see you succeed, and you're going to be better when you do it, all these things better, and not try to do it yourself because you don't know. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN. 97.5.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.